Everybody, good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to the Whole Duty of Man podcast. You are listening to the Cosmos. I am Mabel and I am not alone as always. I am with my lovely brother Mncedisi. How are you this evening?
You know, I'm doing quite fine. There is still worries and stresses of life, but as you've been learning through with the cosmos, right, and with the lesson Jesus wept, the Bible and human emotions, one key thing that has really been standing out and it's been sort of like a recurring theme has been going to Jesus. And you know, as you apply that, he gives you rest. And yeah, let me say, I've heard that experience this past week, so it's been quite amazing and interesting just to keep going to Jesus, go to him and go to him.
Okay, it's quite interesting to hear that the stuff we've been talking about has been quite applicable on your side. I think for me, in terms of being applicable, yes, but very challenging. And especially with the lesson we are talking about today, this one was very personal. I actually had to go over it over and over again and to really think about it. It's very practical. I think like the others, but it takes a lot and the results are very good, but I am looking forward to it. But I think before we start, as always, let us bow our heads in prayer. May you please open for us in prayer.
Father in heaven, we come before you upon this day, Lord, to thank you for the gift of life which you've given upon us. Lord, please give us your spirit and guide us, O Lord. Let your presence be with us and may it take us through, O Heavenly Father. Please let your spirit be with us. And as we are about to have this podcast now, please may the words that come out of our mouths be the words that should touch our hearts, O Lord. We pray this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So we are talking about resilience. Resilience, resilience. Are you familiar with the word, and in what sense have you ever heard this word being used? It's quite a buzzword. It's used in different disciplines for different things. We talk about people being resilient, communities being resilient, institutions being resilient. With your general familiarity with the term, what do you know about it?
I think what I'm familiar with is, you know, being resilient is related to being strong, being able to stand against types of trials, something difficult, something that's hard to stand against, and you are resilient. You eventually you go through that. You are able to stand through that hard time, through that tough process. I think that's common use I've come across. What about you?
I'm gonna share that now. It's actually been quite a big term that has been used in my studies, especially in the space I find myself in now, looking at climate change, extreme events and disasters. We speak a lot about resilience, you know, we speak about socio-ecological resilience, whereby a community or a group of people or an environment, an area suffers or goes through a disaster, right? And then after that, we look at the people and then we see the sense of community that they have afterward and the way they are just able to rebuild after that has happened. And we look at that and we're like, oh, that is actually being resilient. And in that sense, it's looking at resilience, as you said, the ability to withstand. So resilience, right? It occurs in the context of a disaster or something that is out of the norm happening to you. And even though that out of the norm thing is happening to you, you are able to stand it. You are also able to somehow resist. So it's like in a technical sense, when we're talking about measuring resilience, or when we say how resilient have you been, it's like sort of measuring how much did you resist this change, and how much were you able to sustain who you are and the core functions and the identity of the system, and not allowing that disturbance to change you so much, but also not only to withstand or to resist, but also the ability to cope and to adapt. So obviously there's a disturbance, things are no longer the same, and now you need to get used to those conditions. And the lesson speaks about bouncing back, right? So it's like, can I go back to normal? But I'd like to suggest a different way we can look at resilience. I don't want to make this too academic, but this is something that has also been introduced in literature that speaks about resilience, and that we don't always have to bounce back. We can always bounce forward. So we can have a disturbance, and you don't have to be where you were, but you can be at a much better place. So, yeah. And I think a last thing about resilience, understanding resilience as a process. So resilience happens during the disturbance, and you can even see the effects of resilience afterwards, and it's something that you continuously build on. So not as a complete outcome and being like, oh, that is resilient, but just seeing it as progression and as a process, yeah, over time. So yeah, that's just my general understanding and the way I have like tended to apply resilience. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We are looking at resilience, right? And in the ways in which both of us have defined it. I mean, the definition is more or less the same in whatever context. It's just used differently here and there. We're not going to be very nitty-gritty about the particular terms, but just understanding it as being able to stand in adversity, such that even after that adversity, it does not change completely who you are, and that you are able to grow and to learn from that experience. So what we are trying to get out of this lesson is, let's say you go through a terrible experience, right? Of course, emotionally and mentally, you will be in a bad space. Now, how do you ensure that that experience does not either one, draw you far from God, or just completely mess up your life? So how can you get back and become even stronger after that experience? Do you want to start us up with the first Bible character that we can learn lessons of resilience from?
So we are starting off with, guess who? Job, right?
Okay.
And when you think the name Job, you think the guy went through trials, he had a difficult life. I mean, Job is this righteous person. Out of the blue, his children die. He loses all his wealth. He loses his home. His wife is busy saying, curse God. He starts getting hurt on a physical level. His health is at risk. Every single part of his life is down. From being a righteous man, from being up there, all things just seem to be coming down. You know, and just think about what's going through his mind. And at the same time, let's consider the intensity that these things that actually happen to you. I mean, you lose your child, you lose your livestock, you all of a sudden you're getting sick with sores, your health is down. I mean, just experiencing one of these things is enough to turn our lives upside down. Now imagine experiencing all of them in high frequencies in such a short space of time, and all of them just happening together, all of them. So we can just not even picture, but we can just try our best to imagine what Job is going through. I mean, imagine the death of someone you love. Now imagine multiple of them. Imagine all of a sudden all your wealth is gone. You have zero rand in the bank. At the same time, you have dead children, right? All of a sudden, the next day you wake up, you have sores on your body. You are down. You can't. And everything is just a mess. Your servants are dead. Like, everything's just a mess. A literal mess. And this is what we find Job going through, despite him being a righteous man. And What's very interesting about Job, he still remained patient. James chapter 5, verse 10 and verse 11 says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and patience." Verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy, which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." You know, despite starting the story of Job from a negative point of view, we find at the end, it ends on a very good note, right? And through all that, Job's character of patience sticks out. And as having been someone who have devoted in the book of Job, what do you have to say on Job's patience?
All right. I'm not going to talk particularly about his patience, but I think what I was going to speak to was going to speak about him. Yeah, I guess patience, endurance, it's really the same thing. So in the book of Job chapter 1, right, we are told about the man that Job is, that he is a patient, that he's an that he's an upright man, right? So this tells you that Job was at a good place with God and he had a relationship with God, right? Like, he was not just any random, okay, not that he wasn't far from God, and he wasn't, I mean, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but just talking about the character and the nature of Job, you can see that Job is someone who actually communed with God. For him to have been referred to God as being of a man of perfect stature. So, and I'm just thinking, right, about how do you think Job would have reacted or responded to these trials and tribulations if he had not been this perfect and upright man? And I think what I'd just like to bring forward to the table, when we are now speaking about building this resilience does not just come like all of a sudden right now. If we have an earthquake, if I never prepared for the earthquake in any sense, I'm going to fall apart, right? But it's that sense of either I know that the area I stay in is very prone to experience earthquakes. So I will have a rescue plan always. I will have insurance. In that sense, even when the earthquake comes, I will be able to bounce back or to even adapt, right? Because I somewhat prepared for it. So I think the relationship and the character, the relationship that Job had with God and his character is actually what enabled him to be resilient. And I'd like to compare Job with the parable that Christ gave the disciples, the parable of the sower, right? There are three types of ground. And it's on the stony ground where it says that the stony ground, it's like, okay, at first the seed is received. But when tribulations and trials come, that's when the serpent comes and takes the seed away. And when Christ then interprets that parable, and also when we read about it in Christ's object lessons, it actually tells us that the reason that the stony ground person or the stony ground heart is not able to stand in trials and tribulations, one is because they were never grounded in the faith. So they did receive the truth and the word of God and the promises, but they did not truly believe and truly accept it. You just accepted it out of excitement. But because you were not truly grounded, now when the enemy came to attack you, you lost all faith in God. And when tribulations came, you just completely fell apart. And in that sense, you were not being resilient, right? So I think what we learn from Job is that his patience did not just come overnight. In fact, patience is a fruit of the spirit. And we know that we have a carnal nature. So it's definitely not going to be something that you're just going to wake up with. I think it does take relationship with God. It takes...
No, continue.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to wrap up and to say that it takes being filled by the Holy Spirit. So I think number one in building resilience for us to have patience, relationship, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it may seem like it doesn't matter because you are not being attacked. But when you are attacked, we will be able to tell that here some sort or some form of resilience has been built.
And another way that resilience also builds up is by us going through trials. And through those trials, we decide to remain patient, and we
Sure.
decide to remain steadfast on God, right? And so in fact, another way that resilience can also come, it has to be through tribulation. And particularly as people were in an end time context, right, we need to build up resilience. And as you've already mentioned, it comes from having the Spirit of God. It also comes through going through the actual experience of tribulation, you know, and being able, in those small tribulations that we go through today in our everyday lives, at home, at work, at school, and we lean on God, and we hold His hand, even when the wind is trying to separate our hands from holding together. We hold His hand, and we go through that tribulation. We build resilience as well. I think I once had a quote that was saying that the pain you feel today, it was in the context of exercising. So you were saying the pain you feel today is the strength you feel tomorrow. You know, at the end, it's painful now, but towards the end, you would have built up resilience that when they are coming with you, can't buy or sell, etc., you know, you have built up resilience. You are now able to stand.
Okay.
And I also like as well how we're, I just like as well how we're ending on this note with the Sabbath, with how the lesson study puts it, that it put out an idea sort of that, you know, we tend to want to pray, God, please remove us of this tribulation. But, you know, let's pray for God to be able to give us the strength to go through that tribulation. I just loved how they brought all that perspective as well.
And I think for me, that's one of the big challenges I experienced with this lesson. As I said, it's very hard for you to shift your mindset from seeing as a trial, as a personal attack, and seeing a trial as a chance to grow and to become stronger. So it's definitely something to pray about. And I think when you see your trials genuinely as a way to become stronger, I feel like then it makes sense. You join Paul when he says that you must rejoice in tribulation. So this definitely requires a shift in mindset and having to be intentional about it. So it's quite a big challenge that is presented before us today. Can we move on to the next Bible character? I think Job was quite loaded. We really could have just ended here.
Let me just check something. I think there's something I might want to not leave out.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Just wanted to make sure to mention one more point. Another recurring theme I think we're seeing with these lessons is the idea of hope and hope, and who you should also hope in as well. You know? So just a key thing for our listeners to note, and for ourselves to note as well. Hope is an essential thing. Hope in Christ and believing in Him. Even when it seems as if Christ does not exist, even when they've given you every proof in the world that, no, you've got this wrong, but you know it's the truth, and you're convinced, and you're in the worst situation ever, hope in Christ is what will take you through. You need that.
Yeah. And this is really is what should push us to sharing the gospel. Someone is they're suffering, and they have no idea that there's a way out. They think that this is literally the end of things. And this is why messages like this and the gospel needs to be shared to the whole world. Yes, in preparing people for the second coming. But man, people are just going through so much. And in this world, there literally is no way out. But we literally only have our hope in Christ and His soon coming. And if you don't have that in view, like, life is really gloomy. So another challenge again, just for asking God to really place this burden in our hearts, for us to share this hope that is burning in our hearts. All right, the next character, Joseph. He's another person that went through a lot. Guys, Joseph was kidnapped, okay? And then he gets kidnapped.
I think about kidnapped. His own brothers hated him and threw him in a pit.
I think actually Joseph's trauma started at a young age. Remember, he grew up in a family where he had two mothers. He has a billion brothers, a sister, and he has other stepmothers. Remember also Jacob slept with the maids of
That's
Rachel and
amazing.
Leah. And then there's also strife. So already there's like childhood trauma, you know? And it's like having to be strong in those situations. Even worse, you grow up, your family, your siblings don't like you. So there's no love at home. And we already see those effects, even with some of the people, like just generally around our lives or in the media, where we see like children that are simply not being loved at home and how much they go through, right? And so with Joseph, we are seeing layers of the things that are taking place in society. He goes through this, and the hatred is as bad as them wanting to kill him, throwing him in a pit, selling him to slaves, randomly, and then him having to go to Egypt. So it's quite a lot. And then he gets to
It's
Egypt.
a lot.
And then he gets
Yo,
sexually harassed, and
and he's
his
innocent,
character
thrown into prison.
he becomes accused, right? But again, I think it's that same principle that Joseph, yeah.
And think what's going on in his mind. I mean, we can well assume that Jacob, being Jacob, all his sons would have known the promise, right? Given to Abraham, given to Isaac, now given to him. And now he finds himself in prison and is like, what? Where is God here? Where
Yeah,
is God?
but I think
And
he
still
believed.
in that he had, yeah, that's what I'm about to get to, but even in that he had to trust and have hope in God and in his promises, even though the
Well,
circumstance was saying impossible.
sure. These characters
So
make me
that's the
feel so bad for being discouraged
your
in small inconveniences. Like, I can't even imagine being kidnapped. I don't know what I would do with my life. And
imagine.
it's crazy. And
I
this
would
is your
just despair
entire
as a
life
slave.
in a foreign
Like,
land. He
man,
probably
new
had to like
language.
learn the language and cultures. And sure, this must
Yo.
have been a mess. And I think again, another thing, we are not told about so much, you know, about Joseph's relationship with God explicitly, but we can tell in the way that he responds, particularly even when Potiphar's wife attempts to sexually harass him, right? He says,
The
"How can
concept
I do
comes
this great
between
sin against God?"
against my
So
God,
we see that he has this sort of reverence towards God, and even the way he treats his brothers, even when they come back, you can see that this is someone who has been walking, and this is someone that who has been dealing with God. And he knew about the promise, right? Because he told the Israelites who were now coming into Egypt that, "Hey guys, we have a promised land, and one day you must leave here. And when you leave, you must take my bones with." So I think even in Joseph's narrative, we are aware that he had this hope burning in his heart, and this is what contributed to
Him
his
going through.
resilience. Yeah. And I think another big challenging thing, I literally wrestled with this morning. I still am, and the idea of turning bad situations into good. I just like, I'm like, okay, like Joseph, why did you not try and run away? like you had all the power, but he stays in Egypt, and he makes things turn out well. Because I think honestly, it is a weakness of mine. When I'm down bad, I'm really down bad. And it takes a lot for me to see something negative in a positive light. Even though I see it in a positive light, at the back of my head, I'm still like negative about it. So I
And I
think
think that's where, God really just comes in, and that part of just you giving yourself wholly to him. Because if
Sure.
you're genuinely being honest, it's a hard concept to say. A trial comes and the first thing you think is, okay, yo, this is a trial. Let's pray to God and at least get the strength to overcome. It's a hard thing. But I don't remember. I think I was reading something in the, I think I read it in the lesson study, in fact. I'm trying to remember what I was saying, but let me just look for it. I don't remember where it was, where I saw it, but it was, I don't remember it, but it was Okay, it'll come back to me. But yeah, if you're genuinely being honest, it's a very hard thing to do, and on top of that, to lean on God and to have hope in God. But I think it then comes as seeing your life as spiritual.
Sure.
Understanding the spiritual context that you are now in, and that your hope should be in Christ. Yeah, I think gradually, as we try to fix our minds on God, we fix our minds on things to come, because perhaps it goes to show how we still, to some extent, we still have a better focus on this world if we deem the troubles of this world as of these things, Yeah, so
Okay, and
I think with prayer
you're right.
and ask for the child that will get you to that kind of point.
No. Don't do that.
Ask
But like, I mean, do it, but don't do it again,
for
okay?
it. Ask it.
No,
No,
you can't
ask
pray for
it.
trials. You know, trials will
Yeah,
come
yeah. Be
if you follow through with the
careful when you
beatitude.
pray for faith. Be careful when you pray. God's chosen method is trials to bring that faith. So be careful when you pray
Oh,
for faith. Oh,
my
God will be like, oh, one
goodness.
faith, I'm willing to give it. Just, and you just bring it to you. You bring it to, like, oh, you've read the story of Job, so you know you should have hope, right?
Sure.
Ask for that faith.
But at
Ask
the
for that
same
patience.
time, God is not hard
We
on
need
us,
to do
right?
it. Yeah.
With the verse we read in James 5, it's like, and you need endurance, but he still
Does
pities
not give us
us
what
and
he knows we
he's
can't go
and
through,
he,
overcome. Yeah.
yeah, and he's compassionate. So we're not trying to put it away across as if, yeah, God
Yeah.
wants you to suffer, because it's like, yeah, I want you to be strong.
No, God does
It's
not want you to
I
suffer,
don't think
definitely
we
not.
can even fathom or understand it, because I feel like us as human beings, we are either on either extreme, either being hard on yourself or being too lenient. But God just has these two coming together in some way I don't think that we can ever understand. And the question that is
In
posed to
fact,
us, that I'd like to share is, have you ever had a terrible experience that in the end brought some good, some benefit? How can this help you learn to trust the Lord in any adversity, even when nothing good seems likely to result? So it's always just something to think about. Think of really terrible experiences that you have went through, and ask and look at how they turned out for the good, and then with that, just let that comfort you. And just enable you to look at your present trial and see how you can and see how it can be turned for the good.
And one more point
Also,
I just want to drive out.
okay.
Just notice. Okay, go.
No, you can go.
All right. Notice with Joe and with Joseph, through the trial, there's faithfulness that remains. That faithfulness has to remain. That's what actually shows us that we've made it through when we remain
And
faithful
resilience,
till
right?
the end.
You're able to withstand and not be shaken.
Yes.
It's crazy. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. So just
Yes,
to
yeah.
wrap up this thought, if you, it's that thing of you have a trial, do what you can to address it. But if you can't, that's where you just leave it to the Lord. And I think the point is, if you despair, you basically become a useless human being, because all you are dwelling on is this trial, and your life on earth and God's purposes for you is being wasted. So it's like, okay, the situation is totally out of my control. How can I turn this to good? Right? So it's also a stewardship thing. You've been given time, resources, etc. on this earth, and a single trial is gonna blow you out. And especially if there's nothing you can do to change it, might as well be like, okay, we are switching things up. I will use this to gain victory. So, yeah, I think we'll leave it there with Joseph and with Job, and now we'll go on to Naomi. So, Naomi is also one of many biblical characters that went through really rough patches. So she gets married, and then there's a famine in her land. So she moves out with her husband. They go to a completely strange land. I think they had sons by the time that they moved, or I'm not sure if they had children when they had moved, but they have a
Yeah, I think they have children.
in an entirely strange land, right? They have a family there, and then the husband dies. Okay. The sons get married. Okay, that's great. But then now the sons pass away. So, long story short, it's quite a short story though,
Both of
presented in
them.
the Bible. Naomi loses everything. She left her hometown. She's in a foreign country. She's lost her husband. She's lost her kids. And she's literally all alone, right? So now you can imagine, like, she it's not just grief, but now it's like, oh my goodness, how am I gonna take care of myself? How am I gonna be taken care of? I've literally lost my livelihood, right? Because she wasn't working or anything. I'd like to think that it was at these times. So it was probably not sure how they exactly took care of themselves, but I think the sort of distress that is really presented before us is that she lost a great deal of her livelihoods, right? So the basic things that keep her going, she legit lost them. And now it's like where to go from here. And the resilience that we see built by Naomi is through social relations, right? We've spoken about how a relationship with God, how having hope, and how turning bad situations into good helps you to be resilient. But I think here, God with Naomi intervenes in a different way. So as you read through the book of Ruth, right, we see that Naomi had her two daughters-in-law, and she's just like, yo guys, you know what, let's just call it a day. You go back home. I'm just gonna go back to my hometown because we can't keep on going on here. We have all lost our husbands, right? And then it's like Naomi at this point, she perhaps also maybe feel like she's been very useless, but we see in the way that Ruth, one of her daughter-in-laws, responds to her, and Ruth is like, no mom, no mother, where you go, I will go. I will worship whoever you are worshiping, and I'm basically sticking with you. And I mean, there's a reason, right, that Ruth wanted to stick to and to stick with Naomi. There's a reason why Ruth was willing to forsake her gods and worship the God of Naomi. So Naomi may have felt like useless, worthless, I brought nothing to this life, you know, everything is just all over. But clearly, with the way that Ruth wanted to cling to her, we do see that she did have some sort of influence over Ruth and
Impact.
she impact, right? And obviously, that impact, it's like that thing of you are a fountain that gives because you are also constantly receiving. So I think perhaps with Naomi, we can be able to like to see that, okay, Naomi obviously clearly had something going on with her God. There is something that was happening there in Naomi, even though she was not actually even aware of it. But the fact that someone else from outside could see it, that means Naomi did not completely fall apart in a way that was completely unattractive, right? But I think the most important thing, she still needed some strength and that social support that she and Ruth had, them being together. It looks like it's something that actually kept them going and going stronger. So relationships, I think we did have an episode on relationship also
We did, yes.
and so relations and people in our lives are very important. I think with Job, it was quite different. Yeah, his friends were really not the best people to have around. Joseph also struggled. But I think with Naomi, we are being presented a different way in which resilience could play out in one's life. You know, some people really need another person to get through this life with. Some with Joseph, he may have been okay with the promise of God saying, I will hold you with my right hand, even though God's literal hand is not there. But maybe Naomi needed a literal hand to touch, and she needed someone to hug, and literally someone she could cry on. So I like this. I think I like the diversity of characters and their different ways of coping. I think it just shows how how different our experiences can be and how versatile our our resilience and coping strategies can be. Yeah, do you have anything to say on Naomi?
I think you have covered the gist of what she has, of what we can learn from her. And just
Okay.
another point to point out for us as well, as we're learning about these characters, you get, okay, this is gonna just gonna be, tell me what you think of this, right?
Okay.
Because God has given us exposure to biblical stories where we learn lessons and that way we can apply them, does it make sense that he will give us a greater trial
No.
because now he has given us more knowledge? I mean, now what from
Obviously.
Joseph's experience, from Job, from Naomi, the three. So you have to go through something. It makes sense. So just to emphasize on the importance that you have to apply these things because now there's an expectation, so as to put it, because often if you really go through these stories, right, there's no challenge that someone goes through, and there's no background where God reveals something to you and you're supposed to lean on. You see it. So you're
Why
not
are you
just
being
getting this
like this?
information for
Why?
nothing, Jay.
Why are you being like this?
Something is coming. Even for
Why?
us, we get this lesson for something is coming.
No. Like we're having a good lesson, and you're really gonna come with this energy. Like I hate the
I
fact
want to
that what you're
drive
saying
the
makes sense.
importance of applying what we biblically learn. That's how important it is.
You know what I feel like doing now? I just want to stop recording because I'm
Don't
literally
say you
like
want to stop, please.
so overwhelmed by what you said. It's
Remember,
overwhelming. Okay. You
there's
are
what we
breaking
know
up your chair.
and what we could have known. So don't miss the chance of saying there's what we know and what we could have known. Both will be weighed, eh? So hey, don't
Yeah,
stop.
but
You're making things worse. You're in
I mean,
it now.
we know, and yeah, it's a but. I mean, it doesn't mean that it will be
Let
worse.
us
It
quickly.
doesn't have to be. I think God gives us our portion, okay? Yeah, let's not scare people, please.
Yeah, no, it's just an idea that I wanted to hear your thoughts on.
No, it's crazy. I mean, it makes sense, but it's not friendly. It's not. It's not free. It's not comforting. Doesn't sound compassionate either. It sounds very hard, but either way, I think what we know for sure is that God will give us our portion, whether it's something like
Yes, definitely.
Abraham or worse or whatever. You are not Abraham, okay? Abraham had his own
God will
shenanigans
give
going
you.
on. God wanted to deal with him, so yeah, okay, that was a bit of a traumatic moment. Yeah, please take what Ncedisi said with caution. I wouldn't advise saying it, taking it all just as it is.
No.
Yeah.
It was just an idea
Anyways,
that's just being out there, Yeah.
let's move on. Let us move on to the next character. The next one we have Esther. I like this feminist approach of also looking at female characters. Love it. So, we have Esther, right? Esther was an orphan. She's also finding herself in a strange foreign place. And then she gets married. Well, she's 16. This was wild. But anyways, we're not talking about
I don't
all
know.
of
How
that.
do you know she was 16?
I can't remember. I just remember having a play and the narrator mentioning that she was 16. I really don't know though. But we know for sure that she was young, with the use
Wait,
of
the one acting as
engraving.
extra?
Sorry?
Wait, the
What are
one
you?
acting as Esther?
No, I can't remember. No, I definitely wasn't because I was watching it. No, don't stress. So we have Esther. She's been an orphan. She's in a strange place. She gets married to a king. Yeah, that's big, guys. I don't know also emotionally how she was, but I mean, she seemed to want to go for it. But we also have her uncle Mordecai, who's a great guy. Offering her opportunities, but he also had some moments of being hard on her, like the same way that Ncedisi really shared a rough idea right now about suffering in trials. Kind of the same thing with Mordecai, where now we have this guy, what's his name? Is it Haman, right? He's planning to kill the Jews and also to take over the throne. So Mordecai knows this, and Esther is queen. So Mordecai goes to make Esther feel bad, and she's like, "Esther, you are
I
queen.
wouldn't
You have
say
the
he was
power."
making her feel bad.
Well, he
He was
did.
telling her of this, like it was he was saying to her, Esther, I mean, think about this. It wasn't necessary to say that he was making her feel bad, but it was like saying, Esther, you can help us here. You can help us, and you have the chance to help us, and
No.
you have the responsibility.
I mean, it's a conversation for another day, but it's the fact that Esther did not want to do it. And now Mordecai makes use of guilt tripping. But anyways, we are
No,
not there. It's not about
no.
that. It's not okay. When I read it, I felt bad. I felt like Mordecai is personally attacking me. So I'm assuming Esther may have felt the same way, but either way, we are not there. So Mordecai is like, "Kaibo Esther, you think God has made you a queen for jokes, for just vibes? God has made you queen so
Exactly,
that
it's the reality of the
no,
matter.
it's the reality, but it's the way he said it." Okay, anyways, we are not there. We are not there.
Tough love. It's tough love, but it's still love.
It's okay. I don't believe in tough love, but I mean, maybe I do, but I don't. But we are not talking about that for now. So, that's what happened, and then Esther basically puts her life at a risk. We know that at that time you couldn't just go into the king's chamber anytime and see the queen, the king, right? You had to organize an appointment. He had to call you. So now Esther does this grand thing where she just puts herself in danger because now she must let the king know of this plan that is to kill all the Jews and also for Haman. Who wants to know? Haman did not want to take over the throne. I think he wanted the position of Mordecai. So I think here, though, we're just being presented with the distress that Esther went through.
Haman
Okay.
had a position already. Not that he
Yes.
wanted anything from Mordecai. He wanted to kill the Jews.
Oh, he wanted to kill the Jews. Okay, thank you for correcting that. So what
Yes.
we are being brought out to here is just the stressful experiences of Esther, right? We may just be narrating this as a cute story, and you may not really see how it was a tough, stressful situation, but the king could have really killed her. It's like you have, let's say, let me try put it in a South African context. Corruption is a big thing, right, in this country. And you know that the president has done a very big crime, or maybe the deputy president rather. You know this. And because you are a commandment keeper, right, and everything, and you're like, I'm in this position where I could potentially change things if I speak the truth. But if you speak the truth, you could potentially lose your life, right? But it's not just losing your life. It's either if you keep quiet every day, you are burdened with guilt, right? We know, guys, being burdened with guilt is not nice. It's the most painful thing ever, especially knowing that it's in your hands. Like, you know that if I talk, things can change for the better. So knowing that it's in your hands and not doing anything about it, so that's the pain and distress that Esther was finding herself in. Also now her people also that could have potentially died. So it was true when Mordecai said that, "Bruh, this is in your hands. You could literally turn this for the good." So you can just imagine the mental stress and despair that Esther
Save
was in,
everyone.
her literally, right? And so now it's like, how do we see resilience being applied in this situation, right? And I think here we are seeing some sort of courage coming out from Esther, and with that sense of, you know what, I'm just going to be courageous in the Lord and going to go forth and to do the right thing. Because we see that even before she does it, she even calls for a fast, right? She's like, tell everybody to stop what they're doing, put on sackcloth, and you are fasting with me before I go into the king's chambers. So what do you think we learned from Esther's experiences?
I think, we can already get that resilience is not an easy thing, right? It's a struggle, but I think there's that sense of responsibility, and that Esther, and she was like, this actually is in my hands, and she took on that responsibility. And this notice the approach of Esther. What did she do? She says fast and pray. The recurring theme of lean on God. Your strength will not make it. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own.
Sure. Okay. Preach,
That's
brother.
the point. That's the point there. She said, okay, it's fine. She realized, okay, that I have to do this. But she was like, I am weak. I can't do it. So then she says, Mordecai, gather all the Jews in Shushan. It's fast. Me and my maidens will fast as well. And you're like, because she realized that, you know what? I can't do this. I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I don't have courage. I can't stand.
Sure.
So she's then, what did she then do? She said, it's fast and let's pray and let's let God give us the strength to go through. And notice that she's not praying that. Somehow this changes. Did you notice that?
Sure, that's
Somehow
interesting.
she's praying that God give us the strength to overcome. And perhaps sometimes that's what we need to pray for. I mean, if you do notice it, that's the call to stand. The call to stand is to have the strength to go through that tribulation and not to go around
Yeah, that's
So
it's quite
there is.
profound, yeah.
Yeah, so fasts, she prays, and then she goes being led by the Spirit of God. Yeah.
Okay, and just to close off with Esther, it's the same thing we see with Joseph. She's in a terrible situation, but using what she's been given. I mean, she was, I don't think it was God's plan for her to be queen in the very beginning. She was, no, they were not, because the Jews were not supposed to be in captivity from the very beginning. So we see how
Yeah, a lot of
God
things
still
in now.
finds us, even when we have deviated from his will. Not that it's okay, don't do it now and be like, God will find me, even as he did
We'll
with
find
Esther.
me.
But in this bad situation, she's like, I'm in a bad situation, but I've been made queen. So instead of crying about this and being in despair, she makes use of this good that she has been given to do good. So I think, yeah, that's another way of like bouncing
Another thing as
forward.
well,
Okay.
right? Despite Esther having fasted and prayed, in her mind, okay, at least from the way I'm reading things and the way I'm perceiving them, is that there still seemed that she still there was still she still knew that there was still a chance that she could die, even when doing this.
Yeah.
So, even that thing that the three Hebrew boys, when they're in Babylon, they say that, yeah, we'll stand for God, but God might not might decide to let us die, but still we know he's still the true God. We need to remember that as well, I think.
Okay, and I think that is a perfect segue into our next
To
character,
yes,
our favorite,
definitely.
the cosmos favorite, your favorite.
No, 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 no. Let's say
Okay.
your favorite. It's your Paul is your favorite.
I mean, he's not my
I
favorite character.
have
He's
my
just my favorite
favorites.
writer. But
Let's
either
not promote
way,
strife among our listeners by having favorites. It's going to Paul.
I mean, it's not about, okay, when I say our favorite, I just mean that he's a popular favorite, right? And we are talking about Paul. We really cannot talk about endurance and leave out the book of Philippians and leave out the experiences of Paul. Do you want to take us through that?
Let's just let Paul take us through himself. Let's turn our Bibles
All right.
to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Tell me when you reach there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because we want to go through this together. 2
Okay.
Corinthians 11. Tell me when you get there.
Okay, now I'm there.
Verse 23 to 28, I'm going to read. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more.
Okay.
In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Wow.
What? What? Did we just read that? And he concludes verse 28 by saying, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches.
Sure. So even
come
in,
on.
Wow. This is staying true to your calling, and it's like, I'm not letting any disturbance. This is the example of resilience.
And let's understand where Paul was coming from. Like, Paul at some point in his life was given authority to persecute Christians. Like, he could have decided, no, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm going back. Like, and things would have just, we don't know how quick they could have turned out, but you're coming from that place that, you know, if he had made a different choice and said, I'm going back, things could have been possibly maybe way easier. But he chose to suffer the afflictions of God's people, with God's people.
Because of the care for all the churches that he had. That's literally being true to your calling, to your identity. And when we speak about resilience, we are looking at you as a system and saying, even when a disturbance occurs, your function is still able to stay the same. And I think the verses we read from that, from Paul's experience, literally show an example of being resilient. And so what is it that made Paul resilient, right? What is it that made him still have this care for all the churches, even amidst all these hectic experiences that he went through? And we read, we have this answer in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 13. I will read it in our hearing. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Abased, I know how to be humiliated. So I've been super humiliated, but also I know how to be very successful, right? Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So, Paul, I think it's mostly in verse 11 that he says that I have taught, I have learned that in all things to be content. So what enabled Paul to be resilient? He was content. It did not happen overnight again. He told himself that I will be intentional and I will be resilient. So again, this thing of contentment, you're not just going to wake up and be content. This was another challenge that I experienced from this lesson, that sure, in whatsoever things I have learned to be content. And Paul also says that I have my full measure of being humiliated and of being successful. You become content knowing you have done your best, right? And I think we spoke about it in the very beginning, that when you've done your best in a situation, there's no reason to beat yourself up because you've done all you can. We beat ourselves up maybe sometimes because we know we haven't done all that we can. But the zeal and the diligence that is in Paul, he would do everything in all his power and strength and might and leave it to the Lord. And that's why he would be so content. And that's why he's so confident even in his contentment. Like, he's not even doubting the fact that he's content. He's like, in all things, I have learned. So, yeah, contentment. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. And
All
we,
right. This
so, yeah,
we
please
have to
just wrap up on that.
put this this
Okay.
we have to put the last nail in the coffin.
Okay.
Verse 13.
Right.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. What are we seeing
Sure.
from Job? What are we seeing from Joseph? What are we seeing from Naomi? What are we seeing from Esther? What are we seeing from Paul? We are seeing a common denominator, a hope in Christ, a hope in the promises of God. We are seeing them go before God, praying, fasting. We are seeing them remain faithful to God despite their circumstance. We are seeing strength being received from Christ, remaining faithful to Him, and relying and depending on Him, and having hope in Him.
Sure. Amen.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can't exhaust. I can't exhaust that verse enough, honestly. Like, you just you gotta take it as it is. You can do all things. It's, you know, Paul and you. Did you hear what he was saying in Corinthians? Nakedness, oft death, but Christ, through Christ, who strengthens him. Yeah.
Sure.
I can't exhaust that. And I don't know how to exhaust that any further. Just to say, the
I think
verse is
you've repeated
self-explanatory,
it, you've
really.
hypnotized the listeners enough. I'm joking. But yes, we hear you. I think in closing, I'm just gonna add on to that thought. I'm gonna read a quotation from God's Amazing Grace. I think it's a devotional by Ellen
Oh,
White.
read it.
And it
Read it,
says,
read it. I wanted to read it.
all right.
Yes.
The powers of darkness gather about the soul and shut Jesus from our sight. And at times we can only wait in sorrow and amazement until the cloud passes over. These seasons are sometimes terrible. Hope seems to fail and despair seizes upon us. In these dreadful hours, we must learn to trust, to depend solely upon the And to depend solely upon the merits of the crucified and risen Savior. We shall never perish while we do this. Never. Sorry, I'm out of time. I can't read the whole thing, but you are not like when she's saying that. So when we're saying that we are relying and Christ is the one giving us strength, you it's his merits. It's thinking about what Christ did for you on the cross. When you are weak, he is there to be able to make you strong and remembering the work of intercession that he is doing for you, right? Which goes back to our main verse that we did not read from Psalm 146. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. So you will never ever perish is the guarantee as long as you depend on the merits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is the ultimate secret
Amen.
to being resilient. We tried our best, guys. This was amazing. Had a good time. Still have so much to think about and to pray about
So
and
we
to see
had
how it can be applied. But
to literally, I wish we could do a part two for this one, but we tried to do as much as we can.
yeah, hopefully we gave. Oh, I have one last question I just want to leave for our listeners. It says just something to reflect on. It says, how content are you? How much are you tossed around and victimized by your circumstances? What are ways in which you can learn better to be content in and in every situation? All right, just gonna leave it there. And yeah, let us close and bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Lord, may you please help us to really think about this, to pray about it, and may you please give us the strength, Lord, to seek you and to even have hope and to believe and to trust in you and to have you as our refuge and as our ever-present help in time of need and as our strength, Lord. I thank you for everyone who's listening here, and I really pray that they may live here transformed, at least mentally and just with their ideas, Lord, and how they perceive you and their struggles. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.